Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
This is what David Klein was singing, Doug.
95? Was he
95?
95, Tim.
Oh, really?
But this was from their second album, was it? Is it?
I think it was the second album, according to my sources. I'm hearing that it was their second album.
Doug, it's about the Troubles.
473 million views on this.
Wow. Fuck the David Klein's thing. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It airs on 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you here on the radio program. You're welcome to text in 855-CUB-TALK, 855-CUB-TALK. You're welcome to email in for the Hot Shots email today, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com, and get involved in the radio program. It is our pleasure to welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, the alderman from the 21st Ward and St. Louis mayoral candidate, ladies and gentlemen, Antonio French. Antonio, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. I know this is a very St. Louis-centric, stereotypical question, but I could have sworn I saw you in the hallways of St. Louis U High back in the day, but then I saw you graduated from CBC, and I'm like, is my mind playing tricks on me? What's going on there?
Yeah, I went to St. Louis U High freshman year and then transferred to CBC, where I graduated in 95.
You wanted a better education.
Oh, you. And then you wound up going to Auburn and then got a degree from Wash U as well. Am I correct on this?
Yeah, I went to Auburn University, War Eagle. And then came back and got my MBA from Wash U.
All right, there it is. There is the educational background of Antonio French running for mayor. You guys had a debate of sorts on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. How did you feel that whole process went? Do you feel like it was productive, or did you come away from it going, that didn't really get much accomplished?
No, I think it was great, especially considering how many people attended. We had over 1,500 people come to that event. And so that's good for people to be able to hear from the candidates directly, ask questions. You know, that's what it's all about. That's democracy. I enjoy it.
And you have certainly been a focal point as the discussions have been going on over the last couple of weeks. Sports fans paying more attention to St. Louis City politics with the MLS discussion, the Scott trade discussion. What are your thoughts on the MLS stadium and what has been said from both sides on whether or not that makes sense for St. Louis?
Yeah, you know, I get it. I like soccer. I would love to have a new venue downtown. You know, if it was privately funded, I'd be the first one there. I'd buy season tickets. You know, my half of my family is Bosnian. My wife is a Bosnian immigrant. So, you know, we love soccer. Now, the question comes, though, and then how is the thing actually funded? And so that's where the discussion has been over the last few weeks. And as you know, the state said that they aren't going to contribute any money. The county says it's not going to contribute any money. And so once again, it's fallen to St. Louis City taxpayers to kind of bear the burden all by ourselves. And it's just a tough thing to ask of St. Louis City folks, given all the needs and concerns of our city right now and our financial picture, which is not looking very good.
Now, as I understand it, though, with the stadium proposal, the fact that they have agreed, the state, the people behind that proposal, to a 2.5% ticket tax, relieve some of the burden on the city, and even some of the people that were against it in the beginning, like Ogilvy, now say, and also the Ingracia, also now believe that it's not just neutral, the city stands to make some money out of it. And the state has agreed to take care of the grounds for the stadium, which in a sense is kicking in money into the project.
Well, first, let's be clear. The state is not in any way contributing towards the $155 million cost to build the stadium or maintain it over a long period of time. So that would be entirely on city taxpayers. Now, as far as the changes that were made in committee, they were better. And there is more money that would come in from the actual activity inside the building, which would help, reduce some of the costs of city taxpayers. But, you know, we still have not seen a breakdown in actually how that will occur and what those numbers actually are. So a little bit, you know, I think we have kind of put the cart before the horse a bit As you know, the board did vote yesterday to put it on the ballot for voters to decide. But now a second bill is coming that we haven't even seen yet that will actually spell out how that financing works. So I don't think anybody can say with certainty right now that it would be financially positive for the city.
How do you think
we do know is that the voters are going to be asked to raise their taxes in the city, and then a portion of that could possibly go towards building this stadium. That's just a tough sell for city voters right now who are looking at high crime in their neighborhood, city services declining. You know, it's going to be a tough sell for those folks who are pushing this to get voters to approve it, I think.
So you don't think it would go forward if it was put up to a public vote?
Well, first step we have to do is, as you know, the deadline has passed, so it's going to take a judge to get it on the ballot. And if they are successful in getting on the August ballot, like I said, I think they're going to have a tough time convincing the majority of city voters.
As I understand it, the alderman voted against funding improvements for Scott Trade Center. Is that correct? Where does that stand?
Yeah, that was voted down in committee. Now, it's not completely dead, as we've seen. You know, there's dead and then there's dead. So it's not completely dead yet. Now, that one, I think, you know, listen, from the perspective of sports fans, all sports fans want to see is something done. They want to see the Scott Trade Center improved. They want to see a new soccer stadium. From our perspective, we got to make sure the numbers work out and that we aren't, you know, breaking the taxpayers. That Scott Trade deal, as it stands, as it's written today, and this is the reason I got it voted down at committee, is the worst deal I've ever seen regarding a sports stadium, because that money comes directly out of general revenue. Like, it doesn't even come in the form of taxes generated from the project. This money comes directly out of the same pot of money we use to pay police officers, to pay city workers, to repair streets, improve parks. So it's got to be a different funding mechanism if that thing is going to be successful, because I don't think it's any way a majority of aldermen are going to vote.
Help me understand that.
$1 million a year out of general revenue.
Help me understand that. So is there not enough money, or it's coming out of the wrong fund? Is this something that can be fixed? Like, explain how it could go forward if it's just coming out of the wrong fund.
Yeah, so right now it's coming out of the one pot of money that we use to pay for most of our city services. That's a no-go for most folks. Now, the way it could be improved if it uses new revenue generated at the Scott Trade Center. So if there is a ticket tax imposed, if there's a new sales tax imposed on goods sold there, some kind of way to generate money from the activity that takes place in that building. That's usually how these things are funded. That's what got the additional vote for the soccer stadium proposal. Mm-hmm. But this idea of just taking the money right out of the, you know, the main pot, that's a no-go, and it died in committee.
Does it come out of the main pot because the city owns it?
Well, no, it comes out of the main pot because that is the easiest route, and that's what the team asked for. Now, it's kind of a negotiation, you know, so they start off asking for the world, but they'll settle for far less. The city does own the building, but the city also has a long-term contract that really spells out what our requirements are and what the team is supposed to do. And it's been a pretty favorable lease. I mean, we don't charge them rent. We don't charge them tax on the building. We exempt them from the ticket tax. So it's been a favorable lease. And halfway through it, they are now asking for what would really amount for taxpayers, $100 million reinvestment in that building. You know, I think we do need to upgrade both that and the Dome, America Center. And so we got to do it in a way, though, that does not break the bank. Because people may not realize, but the city of St. Louis financially isn't doing great. And we've got a new fiscal year starting on July 1, and our budget director tells us we're already $20 million in the hole. So it's tough to start adding new things to it when you can't pay your current bills.
Why is this city in such a tough spot? Too many people moving out?
Well, too many people moving out is one thing, you know, which is really why I've been focusing primarily on trying to make our neighborhoods better and improving the quality of life for people who still live in the city. You know, over the last 15 years, another 80,000 people have moved out of St. Louis City. So we've got to make it a place where people want to move to, stay in, and that's these neighborhoods. And not just you know, being the playground of the region. It's great that tourists come and spend money here, but we also have to take care of the folks that live here, and they're getting pretty frustrated with, you know, we've had 3 stadium proposals in the last 14 months, and not one proposal to, you know, increase the number of police or increase city services in their neighborhoods. So as an alderman and as a, you know, as public official, that's what I'm hearing. You know, I've got to balance what I'm hearing from folks in the community versus, you know, what folks are telling me down at City Hall who have, you know, big goals about bringing the soccer teams. You know, it's a balancing act, and we just got to do what we can afford and try to satisfy as many people as we can, but still take care of our basic needs.
Our guest is Antonio French. He is the 21st Ward Alderman and also a candidate for mayor of the city of St. Louis. One of the discussions that certainly has gotten much more attention, I feel like, Antonio, over the last year, and once again it has come up here over the last month with the MLS discussion, is St. Louis City County unification. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of different ways for St. Louis City and St. Louis County to work better together. I agree that there is a lot of duplication of services, and that, you know, as mayor, I would definitely work with the county executive to find ways that we can shave some costs from both our budgets. But I do think that the last thing St. Louis County needs is a 91st municipality. So the idea that St. Louis City would simply move into the county again and just become the 91st municipality, I don't think that works to the benefit of either of our constituents or improving the quality of life for any of our folks. Now, there's got to be a proposal somewhere down the line that we can try to convince our citizens on both sides of the county line how we can work together and how we can, you know, think more regionally. But the simple idea of St. Louis City just becoming a 91st municipality, I don't think is a good one. I mean, there's a lot of room for consolidation within St. Louis County. I mean, when you've got half the towns in St. Louis County that have less population than my ward in the city of St. Louis, it has their own mayor, their own police department, their own board of aldermen. There's lots of room for consolidation in St. Louis County first. But I'm open to the idea about us working together to reduce costs, definitely.
It seems to me one of the biggest problems St. Louis has is this image of being a dangerous place, the murder capital, yeah, this or that. And yet the police complain that they don't often get a lot of cooperation when trying to solve crimes. How do you get past all that? How do you get the citizens to work with the police and the police to work with the citizens and change some of that?
Yeah, I mean, first, you are completely right. And for me, priority one is always about reducing the number of people shot and killed in St. Louis City. It is just out of control, the level of violence. And it's hard to do anything else with that rate of violence. And with St. Louis constantly getting on the front page of the New York Times every year as being labeled the most violent city. Now, part of the way you do that is, one, you be very smart about your investments and your spending. And so I think the next dime that we get from a tax increase has to go towards fully funding the police department and getting more officers out there on the street. But I also think that, you know, what we have to do is really work to repair the relationship between the police and the community. You know, in the city of St. Louis, over half of the homicides go unsolved. And that's because there is not this close relationship between the police and those neighborhoods most affected by the violence. So we've got to work to repair that. Now, folks in the street also demand a certain level of accountability, too. So when there are those select few officers that overstep the law, and especially when it results in the death of an innocent citizen, people expect accountability. And so, you know, we've got to work to improve that relationship. And that's going to involve a lot of hard work and, I think, new leadership in the city, both at the mayor's office and, frankly, we need a new police chief, I think.
And just to get more people employed, I would think, would go a long way to solving all of those problems. You see a lot of hope there with the spy agency going in, with all the startups on the Central West End. Is there hope for the future that maybe a lot more people can be employed in the city?
Oh, there's definitely hope. I mean, I'm very of St. Louis, because I, you know, when I travel the different streets of St. Louis, even the ones with a lot of vacancy and closed up buildings, what I see is opportunity. But we have to start focusing, I think, on small businesses and not just the big guys. You know, small businesses that most people work for, most people are employed by small business. But here in St. Louis, we are focused almost exclusively on the big guys downtown and the Central Corridor. Meanwhile, small businesses have been closing up left and right in South St. Louis and North St. Louis. So I am hopeful. Now, you know, we've got some great things going on, especially in the tech area down in Cortex and down at T-Rex. And for those folks who have the education and the skills, there are more opportunities today than there were 5 years ago in St. Louis. But we also have 20% of our population in St. Louis that does not even have a high school diploma. And so for those folks, those are the ones we really have to concentrate on getting them the skills and trainings to be able to provide for their families in this new economy. And so that's, we have to take a whole new direction in regard to that, because we have kind of forgotten those folks as a city, and that's a big chunk of our population left out there to fend for themselves.
So what could you do as mayor to make that happen for people, to find them jobs in small businesses?
Well, number one, I think whenever we have an opportunity to do projects that improve neighborhoods, such as a north-south metro stop, such as economic development activities in areas like South St. Louis and Dutchtown and North St. Louis, like areas like O'Fallon and Penrose, you know, these are opportunities to put people to work, especially young people, to get them involved in the trades so that they can get these skills to be able to make a good paycheck and pay for the quality of life they want. Now, it's, all this is being made a little bit more difficult with this right-to-work stuff coming down in the state legislature right now. But in St. Louis City, we will continue to strive for good-paying jobs and to put people to work so they can provide for their families.
Yeah, if you're talking about that 20% without even a high school education, how do you fix that? I mean, what are they prepared to do that's going to give them a decent income?
Well, we got to create training and trade opportunities for them. You know, so it is possible to take, you know, a 20-year-old, 22-year-old guy who presently does not have a high school diploma, get them in a program like we have one called Youth Build that gets them in a daily program that is half educational and getting them their GED, and the other half teaches them a trade and actually gets them an apprenticeship in a union. So there are programs. We need more of them, and we need to add funding to the existing programs so they can actually have the capacity for all the people in our city who need them. There are pathways to do that. You know, maybe it's the trades for some. Maybe it's cosmetology or barber's skills for others. But we have to get the skills and training in these people's hands so that they can provide for themselves in legal ways and provide a wage that actually, you know, makes sure that we break that cycle of poverty, because that's what we're seeing, you know, generation after generation caught in this cycle of poverty in St. Louis.
You mentioned full funding for the police department in St. Louis. I lived there for a while, and I was talking to some of the police officers, and I know they don't make a lot of money to start anyway. How bad is the crisis in terms of personnel for the police and getting, you know, to where it needs to be?
Well, first, you know, we are constantly competing with St. Louis County in that regard. And St. Louis County already pays their officers starting off about $5,000 more per year than St. Louis City. And they actually have a, you know, they are proposing a sales tax increase in St. Louis County, and that money will go towards even higher pay and better benefits for police officers. And so we've got to, I think, prioritize how we are asking for more tax revenue and what that money goes to in St. Louis City. I would like to see more money go to increased starting pay for police officers. We also have a situation in St. Louis where we have already funded a certain number of police officers in St. Louis City, but over 100 of those positions are unfilled and have been unfilled for 2 years now. And so what that means is that the remaining officers are overworked, being in many cases forced to work mandatory overtime. And it's just causing so much stress on them and their families that, you know, many are considering leaving our city. So we've got to do a better job at taking care of our people, you know, both our citizens and the folks that work to make sure our city government works. And that will be one of my top priorities. And so, again, when we start talking about, you know, new money for stadiums or money for this is what I'm thinking about, is that we have millions of dollars of other needs that we also have to address. And, you know, sometimes you can't pay for both at the same time. My priority would be to take care of our folks.
Antonio French, our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You're listening to 590 The Fan KFNS. I've seen one of your promos. It's on Facebook. I don't know if it's on television or not, but I've seen it on Facebook, where you talk about being a mayor for both sides of Del Mar. And as somebody who grew up in the city, South City. That's one of the things to me, and I recognize of the vast majority of the people who are listening to us on this show are not people who were born in the city, raised in the city. I no longer live in the city. My parents do. But I always felt, and this goes back to like the 1980s, I was like, man, something's wrong where you have just essentially a dividing line. You identified it as Del Mar. I just knew that there was a dividing line. I always used Highway 40, but I suppose, yeah, if you want to be more specific, it's Del Mar. And so inevitably, here's what's going to happen in March, and you don't have to say it. I know what's going to happen. Southside's going to vote for Lyda Crewson, and then you and your cohorts such as Tashar Jones and Lewis Reed, you may wind up dividing the north side, and I hate that that's the way that I think it is. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, as opposed to voting for who somebody thinks is actually going to operate in the best interests of the city, and that comes from both sides, in my opinion. I could be wrong on that. So when you say, Antonio, you want to be a mayor for both sides of Del Mar, which is, in my opinion, of speaking away to the racial issues in St. Louis, how can you actually pragmatically apply a campaign platform to action in that capacity?
Yeah. So first, yeah, in the commercial that you're referring to, and actually this is my campaign slogan, is being a mayor for both sides of Del Mar. Yeah, we directly address this divide we have in our city. That Del Mar divide, as it's been called, has really marked the difference between the quality of life, the economic opportunities. It is a racial division. It is also a class division in our city. And so what I know is that, you know, I'm not just trying to win an election. What I'm trying to do is change the city. And so we have to, if we're going to be successful as a city, start thinking about the entire city. And not just focus on our collective bubbles. You know, we have to look at this entire city as one city. The situation you described, if in March everyone goes and just votes their color, the city will continue down the same track it's been going, which is a track of decline. I think we need new leadership and a new vision and actually bringing people together. I mentioned my wife is Bosnian. My family, half my family is white, half my family is black. I've spent a lot of time in my life on the other side of Del Mar. And as a middle-class person, I've seen most of my peers move to the other side of Del Mar. I've stayed in North St. Louis because I think, you know, neighborhoods need middle-class population to help keep them together. And so as mayor, what I'm really focused on is, again, prioritizing our investments. To start investing in areas, in neighborhoods, both in South St. Louis and in North St. Louis, that really have the greatest need. And this is the area that is the biggest opportunity for us as a city to retain population, attract new people, and create jobs. It can't just be all about the Central Corridor and downtown. We can't just be the playground of the region. We also have to be a good place for people to live. And so, there's enough need on both sides of Del Mar, and there's a lot of frustration on both sides. I think we need a mayor who understands both sides and understands every neighborhood in the city and feels comfortable with all our folks.
I've always thought, and maybe you disagree, that the root of a lot of the poverty is the fact that there are too many fatherless homes, education not stressed enough, the parents aren't involved enough with school. And that ultimately is the greatest common denominator to why most people wind up poor. I don't know if you agree with that, or as mayor, there's anything you can do to kind of change the thinking of people to be there more for the kids and to support them throughout school, knowing that fathers have to be there emotionally, financially, socially, all that. And until we really get a handle on that, I'm not sure we're going to solve a lot of problems.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different factors, and it's very complicated, you know, about, what leads to this cycle of poverty and concentrated poverty, which is really a big problem in St. Louis City. A lot of different factors, and as a city, I think we have looked at the problem in silos. So the police deal with the problem from their point of view. School system deals with the problem from their point of view. The health department deals with the problem from their point of view. What we need is a mayor who understands it's all the same problems, and we have to coordinate our efforts and do whatever it takes to get kids and families into better places. So, you know, when you're talking about breaking that cycle of poverty, education is a huge component of it. And that's why what we've done in my area over the last 5 years is created 3 after-school centers where there were none before. There are now places for 122 kids to come every day to get free tutoring, free meals, you know, an adult in their life that is consistent and cares about them. We need to expand those things in our city. We also need safer places and jobs, you know, so people are, you know, people don't feel like they have to carry guns around just to keep themselves safe and don't feel they have to use those guns in negative ways just to feed their families. So I think if we take a collective, comprehensive approach to changing these conditions in these neighborhoods, what we'll see is that violent crime will go down, joblessness will go down, and hope will go up.
What's your position on charter schools?
So I think part of having a high-quality neighborhood means having a high-quality school in each neighborhood. Now, in order to do that in St. Louis City, it's going to be a combination between traditional public schools, public charter schools, and private schools. But we have to make sure, and I would like to see personally, within walking distance of every home is a quality school for every child in our city. And so that's going to be a combination between charter schools and public schools and others. I don't think it's a case of either or. There are some very high-performing traditional public schools, and there's some very low-performing public schools. There's some very high-performing charter schools and some very low-performing charter schools. I am personally a public school parent. My wife and I send our kid over to Wilkinson Elementary, over on Wilkinson CEC over on the south side. And it's a great school. It's a public school. And we'll be advocates for
Hello?
Oh, I
Hello?
Think we lost him.
Halloween?
You there?
Yes,
oh,
we lost
yeah.
We lost you briefly,
sorry.
Antonio.
You faded a little bit. You're back, though.
All right. Did you hear all my statements?
Yes, that your son goes to a school on the south side, public school.
Public school parents.
All right. Let me ask you this, because we just got this text. I thought it was an interesting text. I truthfully don't know the background, but I will simply ask what was sent in and see what your response is. People are enjoying the interview and hearing your perspectives. I own a contracting business and have read his bills, specifically number 165, that he's proposed on increasing the involvement of minorities in the city construction projects. It's a great thought, but I cannot find people that want to or can get to work, and I've tried exhaustingly. Hope this changes, but we were about 20 years behind on starting the initiative. Seems like a large ask they're pushing on the private sector in an election period. To be fair, the construction labor pool, white, black, male, female, is in severe decline. If you could ask how he thinks the city should raise the minority participation in publicly funded construction projects is a good idea. I'd like to hear it. Specifically, how are contractors going to find people that currently do not exist?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I appreciate the question. So what we did as a city a few years ago was conduct a disparity study. And so this is a complaint we often hear from contractors is just can't find the people if people aren't there. So we hired a professional firm that over a period of 2 years, I think, conducted a study of St. Louis City and identified exactly what the capacity is in every different trade. And so we took that, and actually the first time we did it was on the negotiations for the possible NFL stadium last year, and we used those numbers directly from that disparity study that reflected what actually is available here in St. Louis City. And so there are workers available. Now, what we need to do as a city is better connect those workers with employers, with general contractors. But the numbers that we have, and actually there's two bills being proposed to the Board of Aldermen, one related to the companies, minority companies, and one related to minority workers. Those numbers come directly from the disparity study that was performed, and it shows exactly what the capacity is in St. Louis City. So I think the city's role in this, though, is to do a better job at connecting employers with the available workers that we now know are there.
President Trump has said that he intends to try very hard to help the inner cities. He's enlisted the help of Dr. Ben Carson and Steve Harvey, among others. Do you hold out much hope that this is going to help?
Well, with all due respect, Dr. Carson and the very funny Steve Harvey are not experts in this field. So I would look forward to the president actually sitting down with some experts in those areas to help put together a plan to do that. You know, I am. I hope that that President Trump does do what he says he wants to do, which is help improve the infrastructure and you know, the core of a lot of our urban areas in America. I, like many other people, are disturbed by some of his early moves in his first week in office. I think they've been not helpful, both on the national security front and domestically. And I do worry with many of his picks. I don't think many of them are, frankly, qualified, including Dr. Carson, are knowledgeable in those fields. So I'm always hopeful. I'm remaining hopeful. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, what could the federal government do besides just send chunks of money to help inner cities?
Well, chunks of money would help. We would definitely appreciate chunks of money. We have some big needs. You know, when we start talking about, for instance, a big project we want to see done, which is the North-South MetroLink expansion, city taxpayers can't do that by themselves. We're going to have to get federal dollars in order to do that. Now, that's a project that's going to put a lot of people to work. It's going to improve economic opportunities all along that route from North St. Louis to South St. Louis. And so that's a project that was a win-win for everybody. And so if the federal government helps us with that and helps cover the cost of that, that is going to be a huge gain for St. Louis, not just St. Louis City, but the region.
Yeah, I'm downtown almost every day, and I've seen him work on that arch project for a couple years now. And I think the federal government pumped a lot of money into that, and also I look at that and I say, of all the things that could be fixed in St. Louis, I'm not sure the arch and Keener Plaza is where I would have started. I mean, it's nice to have them improved, but boy, we sure could have spent the money other places.
But wait a minute, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. No, that is federal land, as you know, but those improvements are not paid for by the federal government. We actually raise our sales tax in the city of St. Louis to pay for improvements to federal land at a time when we've talked about these problems already, police, streets, neighborhoods. That's what we raised our sales tax for in St. Louis. And I just don't think that is that was a good use of money. I don't think that was our top priority.
Yeah, of all the neighborhoods that could have used some an influx of cash, the Arch and Keener Plaza were probably two that would have been okay without that.
And it's owned by the federal government, and they've got more money than we do. So it should have been paid for by federal dollars, not taxpayer, especially sales tax.
Antonio, let me, from a personal perspective, I suppose, on this, you know, growing up in the city, I recall Mayor Vince Schemel, Mayor Freeman Bosley, Mayor Clarence Harmon, and then I believe it led to Mayor Slay, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall my timeline. And then now whoever will be elected, of course, mainly through Democratic primary, and then eventually in April. And in all this time, and maybe I'm missing something because I wasn't mindful of politics nearly as much in the 80s and 1990s, although I do remember Mayor Bosley speaking to us at St. Louis U High. I don't recall a candidate who, if you just say his name, leads to as much response. And in this audience, which certainly is the majority of the audience, is white. I don't like that guy. Now, I can also tell you, over the last 30 minutes since you've been talking, a lot of people said, man, I don't really like him, but I like a lot of the things he's saying. Of course, as is the case, most of the people obviously haven't met you. That's the nature of the beast. Why do you think that is? And as a, you know, person running for office, to be polarizing, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, so one, I don't know if I completely agree with the premise, but let's say that's true. I think there is always a consequence for being involved in every fight in this city, and so you have most politicians, many of them running for election right now, who over their entire careers have ducked every tough question, have ducked every fight. When there is a controversial issue, you can't find them. They literally walk out the room when there's a tough vote. I never do that, okay? I am always available. I will talk to anybody. Obviously here, you know, this is a very pro-soccer audience, and I'm happy to speak as long as you want to speak about this subject. And so the downside, though, is that, you know, people associate you with some things that they may not like, some positions they may not like. I'm a fighter. You know, I believe in using my time in these offices to better our city and to fight for the issues that I think are most important to our city. I am never here just to occupy a seat or to have a title. I don't believe in that. I don't think that is what people send me down here to do. And so even in this new election, you know, for mayor, I am the only candidate who has given up his seat on the Board of Aldermen to run. And so, you know, I'm all in. And I have been all in ever since, you know, I came back to St. Louis after college. I decided to roll up my sleeves, and if I'm going to be here, I'm going to go to the neighborhood I grew up in, and I'm going to fight to make that neighborhood and every neighborhood like that a better place. It would have been very easy for me to move to a nicer part of the town or even out to the suburbs. But, you know, I'm in it for the hard fights. And you pick up some scars along the way when you're constantly fighting.
We have this text from one of our African-American listeners. Says, Tim, I believe most people don't like him because they associate him with Ferguson, period. Do you think that's accurate? Or contributes to it?
Well, I think a lot of people who, you know, most of my work has been in St. Louis City. So if you don't live in St. Louis City, perhaps you hadn't heard of me before Ferguson. A lot of people heard of me during the unrest we had in Ferguson. And I think the narrative that has taken root since then is that you can't be pro-reform and pro-accountability and also be pro-police. That's just not true. You know, to say that we are asking for more accountability is not to say we are anti-police in any way. Let me tell you, in neighborhoods like mine, in the O'Fallon neighborhood, the number one request we get is more police. We have a great relationship with our police. We support our police. We want more police. And we are the ones that are most affected by this damaged relationship between police and community, which comes out of too often a lack of accountability. And so I've sat down, again, like I said, I'll talk to anybody. We've sat down at the table with Jeff Rorta and the police union. Obviously, we disagree on a lot of things. But I told him face to face, he's like, look, guys, just as a union, okay, when you waste your credibility defending the lone actions of a single individual, and those actions are basically indefensible, you're really damaging that relationship that we need, that we critically need with the community. So let's think about the big picture, which is trying to get the community back on our side so we can make our streets safer. So I agree with the with the texture there. I think some people may only know me from that and have taken this approach that, you know, being pro-accountability is being anti-police, which couldn't be further from the truth.
A final question for you, because I would see during the presidential debates they would ask, you know, about other people running, you know, in their party. How do you feel about your cohorts all running for the office of mayor of the city of St. Louis?
Well, first, I'll tell you, if, like I said, I'm the only candidate who's given up his seat. Now, if every other candidate had to give up their current office to run for the next office, I know you'd have a lot less people running for running for mayor today. But, you know, that being said, I don't think it's a bad thing for voters to have choices. I mean, I think that's a good thing, and that's a good thing for democracy. It's a good thing for our city. You know, one of the biggest frustrations I've had about our city is the level of apathy among voters and your average everyday citizen who just feels like there's no hope in even going to vote, that they're all saying the same things, that they're all full of crap and won't live up to their promises. Well, listen, coming March 7th, people have clear choices. You've got a clearly status quo candidate who will just fulfill the fifth term of Francis Slay, and you've got me, among others, who will absolutely live up to my promises and has never been afraid to fight and will continue to fight for the city of St. Louis.
Antonio French, 21st Ward Alderman and candidate for the mayor of St. Louis, discussing a potpourri of topics here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Antonio, we really appreciate the time. Enjoyed the interview. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Antonio French with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Your thoughts? Welcome, 855-282-8255. Call in. Text in. I really enjoyed the interview. And the text inbox was not nearly as vile as I anticipated it being. So that was the thing I was dreading. And as you heard, we had a few.
He won some people over.
Yeah, that was one of the that was perhaps one of the most, you know, I don't know, encouraging. I don't know if that's the right word, because I wouldn't necessarily call myself an Antonian. I mean, first off, I'm not living in the city, so I wouldn't vote anyway. But not that I would be a supporter of his. I don't know who I would be a supporter of, candidly. But at least people heard him.
And he explained himself. I think a lot of people were familiar with the name in the wake of Ferguson, and he had an opportunity to talk about who he was and what he believes.
We didn't ask him about it, but I believe he was an opponent of the funding for the football stadium, too. And so that's an opinion a lot of people got. Sports fans say, well, I don't know if I like this guy. He's not in favor of the stadium.
His reasoning, he's opposed, as it stands now, based on where the funding comes from for the upgrades at Scott Trade, and also opposes MLS because he sees the impact on the city financially differently than the guests we've had on,
right.
Because he wants more police, which is an argument we've heard before. And it's hard to argue that the city doesn't need more police.
Right. I'm sure they do. But even that's a tough argument. I mean, there was a policeman at Hooters the other night when there was a shooting going on right out there. A lot of these people, they don't care if there's a policeman on the corner. They're going to start shooting.
But the city does have a shortage of
sure. They can use all the policemen they could get. Whether that stops
I'm
a
not
lot
saying
of crime,
well,
I don't know.
But you have to try that.
Antonio voted yes for the Rams Stadium. I thought that's what happened.
Oh, I thought he was very much against
it. He was against it, but I think he wound up voting yes.
Changed
for it.
Okay.
Let's see. Frenchie may have just got my vote. That's from Soulard Twink Boy. Civil Discourse. That's from Dave the Pipe Layer. That Delmar line he talks of has blurred quite a bit. Go drive through the state streets if you don't believe it. It's from the 314. He is a bit of a reverse racist. That's from the 618. Be curious what the basis for that was, especially considering, as he said, he was married to a Bosnian woman, who, for the record, is of Caucasian descent.
Right.
And
no, I don't know where that would come from. It's hard to have any kind of conversation in St. Louis without somebody calling you racist.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Which is why I wanted to just focus on it, because I noticed that's in his campaign. I feel like I could be wrong, so I think that's very important to say. I feel like he is a candidate for the north side more than the south side, but that might be unfair, you know? I'm not monitoring it super closely. I just remember how things would play out growing up, and of course I wasn't paying close attention. It was just understood. South side versus north side. That's just the way it's going to go. And honestly, I don't know anything about Lida Crewson outside of she's been serving for a while. Lewis Reed's been the president of the Board of Aldermen. You know, Tashara Jones. Don't know a whole lot about Tashara Jones either. And those are really the four main candidates, I believe. I hope I'm not unintentionally leaving somebody out. There is no agenda.
Who's a Republican?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
have a chance.
Well, it doesn't exist. You know, and I will
somebody.
Say this. I don't know a lot about Mr. French. He came across great, but you know that sometimes if you're a good politician and you're reaching an audience that listens to this show, you know, you couch yourself that way. I don't know enough about him. He certainly explained himself and he won some people over, but I don't, you know, I don't know exactly where he stands or has stood on certain issues.
And if you can't tell exactly which side he's opposed to and you know, and he's a proponent of, that's probably a good thing.
Timmy, you're never wrong. That comes from Mr. Nipples.
Okay, Nipsey. Knock it off.
There was that one time, and I think it was 89, you were wrong. 89, 90, no?
You were wrong when we talked about Wizard of Oz, and you said Popos will put them to sleep, and it was Poppies.
Posies. Posies.
Oh, you said Posies.
Posies will put you to sleep.
But it isn't. It's Poppies.
Posies will put you to sleep.
It's Poppies.
And you guys were wrong on Carlo being named consul.
No, single year. That was you being wrong again, actually. So it was a few times since 89.
Called my shot on the Falcons, bitches. Where's that audio? Play that over and over again. The Cat, do you know anything about Elysium Restoration?
Anything at all?
I know they do it the way it's supposed to be done. I know that a lot of people are thinking about home improvements, and if
I have a question.
You want to do that? Go ahead.
Could they handle a basement redo?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
It's right in their wheelhouse. I mean, Elysium Restoration and Design has the highest quality craftsmen you can find, more than 15 years of experience with basement remodels, kitchens, basements, additions, windows, doors, and flooring. Doug, you name it, these guys can do, and they do it well because they have years and years of experience. They do custom builds like built-in bookshelves, entertainment centers, added crown molding, which, Doug, as you know, can just make a room.
Sure.
They also do office facelifts and tenant build-outs for commercial spaces. You should go and check out their amazing work for yourself. Do that by visiting erdstl.com or facebook.com/erdstl. Elysium Restoration and Design. Trust is one of the things they build well.
And we are celebrating Mardi Gras as it is approaching, introducing the Kitchen Pass at the Cajun Cook-Off presented by Mardi Gras, Inc., Inside STL and 590 The Fan, to exclusively offer this to our listeners on Saturday, February 11th at Soulard Market Park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a unique experience for 40 listeners to get an inside experience into behind-the-scenes St. Louis dining. Hang out and watch local culinary wizards Tom Schmidt, Mike Johnson, Mike Emerson, and more. Boy, I'd like to watch that. That's pretty good treats there.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Fire Pappies and, of course, Salt and Smoke. How do you do?
I'm fine, thanks.
And they demo their culinary skills and sample their food before the public can. Includes a premium open bar featuring Jim Beam, Effin' Vodka, Hornitos Tequila, Barefoot Bubbly, Bloody Mary Mix, and Tim Lorson's private stash of damn good whiskey for sampling and only to enjoy in the kitchen. Purchase tickets now at InsideSTL.com. Once again, another case of me reading something, discovering it, and going, hey, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, sounds fine. Yeah.
That sounds pretty good is what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug, before we have this email of the day showdown brought to you by Hot Shots, can you tell us about the title sponsor who makes the whole thing possible, Jack?
Well, all he does is loans, mortgages, refis, you name it. You're buying a new house, you've got a current mortgage, and hey, what happened to this rate? Well, if the rate's above threes, you need to get in and have it refinanced. Or they're starting to inch back up, so you got to get in when the getting is good. Now is certainly the time to do it. Rates are still very low, but they're not going to stay historically low forever. Everybody knows that when you want the lowest mortgage rate on the best loan, you go to Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team. I've seen firsthand how there's so much more to these guys also than just getting the best deal. They love to give back to lots of charities in St. Louis, such as Friends of Kids with Cancer, SSM Cardinal Glennon, the Backstoppers, Catherine Karras, St. Patrick Center, you name it. The list goes on and on. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-9700. Call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
There it is, Ryan Kelly. And now it's time, Doug, for the showdown.
This email showdown.
Well, right at the top, we have Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech and Madhu Bowles at Hanks. So they did wind up sending in emails, and they are in a showdown for the win for the month of January. And I'm going to save that for last.
Yeah, can someone contact the local affiliates? Because they're going to...
Sat Trucks.
If neither of them wins, I guess it goes into tomorrow?
No, no, no. They're having a separate contest.
Gotcha.
This is for the first pot, a Lemming's Lunch.
Okay.
This comes from the Webster Wienpeaker. Now that Hanks and Bill Pullman are locked in a separate battle, maybe I could sneak an email by the censors. I'm totally not mad about never having one single email read, though. I'm so not angry that I've attached a list of my top 30 emails that you guys have never read. 25 contain fun facts about hammerhead sharks, 3 are about the movie Jaws, and 2 are about Doug's ass. Please read them all. Doug, that's from the Webster Wienpeaker.
Webster Wienpeaker.
It's not bad.
Good morning to you. I have a few things to get off my chest, if I may. First, let me reiterate, if the Blues don't win tonight, they need to dismiss. Hitch immediately. Two coaches behind the bench is not what this hockey club needs right now. Secondly, if Jake Allen lays another egg, then the note needs to trade Shattenkirk for Ben Bishop post-haste. These atrocities cannot be allowed to continue any longer. Now that that's settled, dig this. So I'm buying the most expensive golf clubs available to mankind at the hottest little links establishment in Hillsboro, Missouri, when who walks in but Julius Erving?
Oh, yeah, the doctor.
Turns out he married a nice-looking dish and moved out to Shimangaway? You know, right off County Highway B. So yeah. I whipped him in a tongue wrestling match, and he bought me a beer. True story, cordially. It's from Mike Tatanka. Anyone else think Meg Ryan should have won more accolades for her supporting role as Goose's wife, Carol Bradshaw, in the 1986 epic Top Gun? Don't forget, in 2015, the United States Library of Congress selected the film for preservation in the National Film Registry, finding it culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. Would have thought the Top Gun soundtrack would get more airplay on this twink show. Hashtag playing with the boys. That's from the anonymous Carlos Danger.
Anonymous Carlos Danger.
Guys, I don't want to make this a whole thing, but I work at the Salty Bass Bait and Tackle Shop right there in Shrewsbury. And Herschel Walker comes in like four times a week. I think he lives in Kenrick Manor. He actually came in this morning while you guys were ranking Spice Girls. He went, for the record, posh, scary, ginger, sporty, baby. But he said he'd take Dolores O'Riordan over any of them. Raiders come home. That's from the Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel.
Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel.
Daddy, horny Dougie. Thanks, hipster of Tower Grove South. OMG, 5 days away, Doug. No, I'm not talking about the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the premiere of 24 Legacy. Quite frankly, I've been protesting outside of Fox 2's offices screaming, not my 24. How can you justify calling it 24 without Jack Bauer? Guy's a living legend who looks terrorism straight in the face and says, not today. Regardless, we have this new black guy running the show, but he has a chance to top Jack's kills on day one. You see, out of the 8 seasons, Jack had a career low 10 kills in season one. Could this guy top it? I say he goes over 10, but won't come close to the staggering 52 people Jack killed in season six. 52? Holy moly, all in one day? Reminds me when Doug and I role-played a 19-inning baseball game in my bed. There are a lot, and I mean a lot, of pitcher and catcher changes. Thanks, White Collar Gangster.
I didn't care for it.
Gentleman lover of Townie.
White Collar Gangster has been suspended.
Wasn't terrible.
White Collar Gangster has been suspended a period of 2 days' time. I don't know how he will explain that to Townie. He's also going to have to explain it to the good people at Llewellyn's.
Morn, just curious if you dime pieces were able to get those sweaty dingle pickers on the latest issue of Turkey Nut Couture. This month's edition has a wonderful in-depth feature on how to transition one's cute neck meat accessories for the cold winter months into springtime. The guest contributor, Doug Vaughn, spills all about how he styles his sexy neck beef to match his, his luscious fupa so as to whisk twinks back to his rep's room for a power fisting session.
No.
Think about it. I'm sorry, twink about it. Doug, that's from Timmy Walters.
Timmy Walters.
You didn't suspend him. I can't believe it.
Has been suspended. Right. He's been suspended a period of 2 days.
You also wrote him on your list, too. And he got a little confused.
His name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub.
He was voting. then he realized a suspension was warranted.
Oh, no. Just doing some paperwork.
That's Iggy, how are things on Mitch in the Morning? It's Joe's show, but Iggy's now taking over.
Yeah, they were fun. 3 minutes and done.
Mitch was in the top 20, wasn't he? I think he was.
I couldn't remember where he was
because
I was going to rub it in that I think we finished in front of him.
Well, I think he's in Seattle, though. That's a top 20 market.
Oh, that's right.
We're number 21, and therefore we are not in the top 20 markets. Doug labeled mid-market and sharing the rankings with stations from Birmingham and Salt Lake City.
Seems about right. Yep.
Morning, fellas. I'd love to wax poetic about sports or politics, but I'd rather discuss something that unites us all. Salt and Smoke Barbecue in our boy mouths. I ordered up some salt and smoke for a meeting yesterday, and boy, was it a hit. We ordered up all kinds of meats and sides and spicy sauces, and the capstone, them fries. Boy, did we have some fries. One of my coworkers ate so much brisket, he got a raw case of the... Nope.
No.
Thanks for listening. Make it a great day. Love and Snuggles, the cousin of Moo Man.
Cousin of Moo Man.
Doug, quick favor. A group of friends and I are a few weeks away from graduating from online university with an associate's degree in proctology. We're pretty jazzed up about finally being able to charge money for our passion. Anyway, for our final, we need to perform a toot sleeve exam via webcam, and we were hoping after Sports Sunday this weekend you could come by and help us practice. Hit me up on my pager if you want to make it. Doug, that comes from Mr. Nipples.
Didn't care for it. Mr. Nipples.
So before we go to the showdown... What you got on the side pot?
There were some good ones. Mr. Nipples wasn't terrible. But the one that I thought was across the board, just solid, not great, but solid, Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel.
No.
So I voted for
no. I'm going to vote for a fellow by the name of Mike Tatanka.
I'm going with Timmy Walters, actually.
Well, he was vile. So Tatanka, I'm sure.
Oh,
we'll
it's Timmy Walters in a landslide.
Damn it, Lucas!
Free lemming lunch for Timmy Walters. All right, kick the music back up. It's time for the showdown here. Wow, wow, wow. There's no way this goes to the speaker because there's only two emails. So we will decide this.
Oh, yeah.
Doug, we're going with Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech first.
Okay.
Howdy. Someday, if I say my prayers, eat my vitamins, and quit my job, I'll make it to the Emailers Hall of Fame. I can only imagine what that would be like. I will slip on the brown jacket designated for Hall of Famers only. Notice it's dripping with spray paint. And realize it's actually the yellow blazer Larry Nickel wore at the last fight. How do I know it's Larry's? Because it's 18 sizes too big, reeks of stripper's perfume, and has glitter all over it. I will nervously play with Cole's tag hanging from the sleeve while I walk toward the podium. All the greats are lined up before me. Bobby with the perm, the Eastside Jackalope, Bruce and Shoes, the Rat and Bloomsdale will give me a knowing wink as I step to the microphone. I'd like to thank TMA, my family, and my coach at Fenton North High School. I'm especially thankful for the two snow days when no one went to work, no one bothered listening to the show, and I was the only idiot to email in. There are those who say email the day is dead. It's not funny anymore. That there are only so many times you can joke about baby changing stations, father-son dances, and tuna fish. To those people, I say nay. We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We are going to survive. Today, Doug, we celebrate our Independence Day. That comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Wow, he went with the classic, didn't he?
That was uplifting.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
And now Matt, who bowls at Hank's. Well, Doug, I knew this day would come. You know why? Because true to his word, Bill Pullman will not only go quiet into the night. Now, while everyone is huddled around the hearth and listening to the definitive lists of sports shows across this fine nation, I'd like to focus on the past and present in this area, seeing as it's the 25th anniversary of Sports Talk in St. Louis. There have been many great shows in the past, i.e. Burns and Bragg, The Smoker's Lounge, McKernan and Fesco, and of course the Late Night Score. While these programs were all historic in their own right, there was one gentleman who shook the very core of St. Louis radio scene for years to come. Some say he was a prophet. Note spelling and prophet. The P-R-O-F-I-T spelling has never been associated with the same gentleman, but I digress. Someone comes along in an industry and decides to alienate literally half the population with his business model. You just throw as much cash at him as you can and just pray you're in the black when the station finally goes dark. That, boys and girls, was unintentionally the best 8 months in St. Louis sports radio history. Doug, that comes from Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Matt, who bowls right there at Hank's.
And now the email of the month is on the line.
Hmm.
Tim, I listened to both carefully because I know the stakes are very high, and I think we have a clear winner. And in my opinion, just my opinion, that winner is Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. He was uplifting to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to have to concur. I'll go with Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech wins it unanimously. Similar to the Golden State Warriors, similar to the Cleveland Cavaliers, Matt, who bowls at Hank's, had a lead that we thought was damn near mathematically insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech playing the role of what up, Bron, and what up, Chris Bryant, and comes back and wins January's Hot Shots Email of the Month and a $100 gift certificate to Hot Shots. Congratulations.
That's quite a
Bill
gift.
Pullman's Independence Day speech. Boy, if you're mad at bowls at Hank's, how do you get any sleep?
Disappointment. I don't know how he looks his family in the eyes and say, I blew it. But he'll have to. He'll have to eat somewhere else.
Congratulations to Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. And now it's exciting because February starts up tomorrow, Doug, and you know the emailers are ready for a clean slate.
I'm sure they are.
That makes it more exciting when we had all this drama and now there's none.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's, texting in, I have nothing to hang my head about except I basically gave away email of the month. Time for us to shut it down. This is the Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Lion's Choice is catering from the Rock Hill location. God, that sounds good. Lion's Choice Famous Roast Beef handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. For the Plow Jet, for Iggy, for the Seamaster, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.